It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. So the big news this week is that Johnny Ive is leaving Apple.
Well, for him to lose their main guy, that seems like, you know, that sort of invented the unibody iMac and the iPhone as far as the metal design of the thing goes. I mean, it's seems like a pretty big blow to their design infrastructure.
You mean the aluminium?
Aluminium.
Yeah. Correct. Good riddance. Maybe we'll get a MacBook Pro with a keyboard that actually works now, because it won't have to be so damn thin that, you know, we have these butterfly keys, and maybe even like, you know, the iPhone. I've actually heard rumors that this year's iPhone is actually a little bit thicker, and my guess is that's why he quit, because he just couldn't take that.
Plastic MacBooks.
User swappable batteries. All right. Floppy drives, optical drives, all coming back. So, no, the article from the Wall Street Journal tried to paint it as, you know, as if Ive had sort of checked out or stopped caring and Apple was totally screwed. And then, you know, Tim Cook sends an email where he completely bypassed Apple PR and was saying it was all a complete fabrication. And I mean, this is kind of a, I don't know, it's the same sort of naysayer doom and gloom that happened when Steve Jobs died. But I mean, a company's not one person, though. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to think, oh, well, one person leaves and you're totally, nobody knows what to do unless he comes to work that day. It's just, it seems sort of patently false.
No, agreed. I mean, if this guy that, you know, at the Apple store didn't show up that, you know, replaced my MacBook 2 years ago, now that's a tragedy, you know. But, you know, Johnny Ive, there's so many people doing what they're doing. Now, you know, you lose 10 Johnny Ives and you got a problem, but you lose one and, you know, he's not coming up with every design they're working on. And like I just said, you know, maybe he's been trying to push it too far. And that's the reason we ended up with this keyboard on this MacBook Pro that, you know, quite frankly, sucks. So
the other thing that's kind of weird to me is they tried to paint it like, you know, it's the last time that Apple had a hit has been forever ago. It was the iPhone. It's like, no, it's the Apple Watch. There's more Apple Watches in circulation than there are, you know, Amazon Echo devices. And those devices are way cheaper than an Apple Watch. So that seems weird. I see them everywhere. Like, everybody has them, all walks of life. I don't see a lot of the stainless steel. I see mostly aluminum, but everybody has one.
So there were rumors that he was pissed that the Apple Watch had become basically a glorified activity tracker versus like a high-end, you know, high-end watch like, you know, what he originally wanted to build. And I don't believe that either. I don't know.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, like you said, Apple Watches are absolutely everywhere. I am astounded at how, like, the high percentage of people that I run into on a daily basis that I don't even know that are all wearing Apple Watches. And I recently tried to kind of get away from Apple Watch for a period of time. And I'd had problems with the heart rate monitor and it, you know, tracking my steps and whatnot. So, like, I was just fed up, and AppleCare sent me a new one. But I decided for Father's Day, Best Buy had the Garmin Fenix 5 X Plus for like $150 off. And I bought it and used it for, you know, a week or two. And some of the features were awesome, but man, not having the, you know, ability to answer phone calls when you leave your phone at your desk, or getting all your updates and actually being able to reply to an update, the functionality that's in the Apple Watch 3, you know, series 3s and 4s with cellular these days, it's so hard to beat.
It can't be replaced.
You can't actually blame the market too for deciding what the best use case is for a device. I mean, when the original iPhone shipped, you know, it didn't have an app store. Everything was supposed to be web apps, and people clamored for it, and it sort of took on a life of its own, and it became the computer it was supposed to be. So the watch has kind of done the same thing. And, you know, even now with like the Series 4 and watchOS 6, it's still tethered to the phone in some capacity, right? Until it becomes its own independent device, it's going to have that, you know, sort of the sidecar to the motorcycle of the iPhone. Then it's going to be what it is, you know? It seems like a weird thing to get upset about.
But to kind of put things into perspective now as to, like, what a crazy good value the Series 4 with cellular are, those, you know, start at $499. The Garmin that I bought that had less features didn't have, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff it was lacking compared to the Apple Watch, was on sale for $650, down from $800.
Insane. Wow.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that much.
Right. Now, I mean, not only is, I mean, as we say, you see them everywhere. Not only is it probably the most popular watch around, I would say the Apple Watch is probably the biggest selling, like, health-related device now. I mean, because of the way people use it and the things people use it for, you know, I know so many people who got a watch and immediately, you know, it's not necessarily I have to close the rings, but it's, you know, I'm doing contest or I'm, you know, I'm having, you know, walking contest or step contest or, you know, crazy stuff like that, that, you know, I mean, it does great things for the people who are wearing them. So, I mean, it's a lot of different things to different people. But, you know, it's definitely the best watch out there right now.
So back to Johnny Ive for a second. Wasn't he a pretty integral player in the creation of the HomePod? I mean, I know that the HomePod itself is not a gangbusters product that's sold a ton and doesn't have a ton of market penetration. But, man, what an awesome device that thing is. The sound that comes from just a small device like that, and then the ability for it to adapt to various rooms, and when you move it, you know, it recalibrates itself. It's just awfully impressive.
I don't know if he was integral in that, but we know that he did Apple Park, so that was something he was also integral in as well. But you know, the thing with the Apple Watch too, even if that were true that he wasn't, you know, maybe happy about that, which I would be surprised if that was actually the case. It's being a health app gets it to the point where, or being a fitness tracker gets it to the point until the hardware and OS matures to the point that it can actually support apps again. Like we saw all these apps that showed up in the beginning, and then all of these folks would pull their apps, you know, all these like Twitter, Instagram, all those, they yank themselves from the watch. You know, in time, as the hardware gets better, the app store becomes independent, it's on its own, the cellular capabilities get better. You know, those things could come back at some point. It could take on a life of its own, and the fitness piece may be the thing that just keeps people interested in buying until it matures as a platform. That's always possible, too.
So from a fitness perspective, though, one area where the Apple Watch absolutely sucks, I mean, just sucks, is sleep tracking. Fitbit has cornered that market years ago. The Garmin that I had was outstanding. I mean, the amount of data that I got from it, and one of the nice things, you know, with me having obstructive sleep apnea, one of the things you worry about is that your pulse oxygen saturation levels get low because you're not getting enough air in the middle of the night. Even though you wear a CPAP, your CPAP could be adjusted to where you're not getting the right flow or whatnot. And so it had an actual pulse oxygen meter that I'm really hoping will be in Apple Watch Series 5. But there's got to be some better sleep tracking. I think Apple took the approach that people would be charging their batteries overnight for their Apple Watch, which is, it's not how I want to use it. I want it collecting data about me overnight. That's why I've got a Apple Watch charger sitting at my desk at work, right? I can walk in, when I get there and get my coffee, stick it on the charger for an hour, and I'm good to go the rest of the day.
First thing I do when I wake up before I get in the shower is I put my watch on the charger, do my morning routine, and then before I walk out the door to go to work, put the watch back on. So that's the only time it's off my body.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I sleep with it as well. But there's an app that's called Sleep Plus Plus by David underscore Smith. And it's been around forever. Have you ever looked at that?
I have, but isn't that something that you you have to go in and set it to say, hey, I'm sleeping now. And then don't you have to actually wake it up and tell it to stop collecting? I remember there were some limited, like the thing that I liked about the Fitbit when I wore it and the Garmin was I didn't tell it squat. It knew exactly when I fell asleep. It knew exactly when I woke up, and I didn't have to hit any buttons to make it happen.
My wife uses an app called Pillow, and she didn't have to do anything with it as far as setting it to go to sleep or whatever.
So the last version of Sleep Plus Plus 3.0, which was in March of 2018, is the introduction of automatic sleep tracking. So it was trying to before using your movement through the night, and now they have the ability to do that because of the background capabilities. So apparently that is a thing that it does. I used to use it, but I haven't used it in quite some time.
I'll have to find the podcast I listened to recently, but one of the podcasts I listened to said that a lot of these trackers that say they can measure sleep, you know, it's really a best guess kind of thing. I mean, they can measure how much sleep you're getting. I mean, they are okay at saying, okay, he's probably asleep and okay, he's awake. But to be able to tell you what kind of sleep you're in and things like that, you know, the lady said it's really a hit or miss kind of thing right now, that it's just not something that most or, you know, any of the trackers are really good at yet. Now, the pulse ox thing that Jason mentioned, you know, that's completely separate from that. And I can see where that would definitely be useful in a lot of cases.
I may have to put Sleep Plus Plus back on my watch because I used to use it in its early iteration in 2015, but I don't think I did the sometimes I would forget to start it up, but I will definitely give that a shot and see if it's any better. I know I own that app from those days.
Well, Apple, if you're listening, here's some low-hanging fruit for you to Sherlock from somebody else.
You have to think that's coming if it isn't, you know, if it isn't on the roadmap already. You have to think that's something that's on its way. So we all agree that we think Apple's probably going to be fine. Jason, why don't you talk to us about the betas? You're the only one among us who has been running all of the betas on all of the betas all of the time. I just installed iPadOS beta 3 today, and I'm going to play with it. But again, I was working, so I didn't really have any time to do that. But I did do it with a profile this time instead of doing a iTunes restore. So that's a new thing for me. But tell us all about your experiences with each one of those.
Yeah, so the betas for the most part have been pretty stable for me. I've predominantly used my iPhone XS Max the most. I will say, like, one of the things whenever we get new versions of iOS, right, it takes you a very short period of time for that to become the new norm. So what you used to have, that you used for a year, can feel so ancient so quickly. And iOS 13 feels considerably more refined. Like the share menus are just outstanding. I mean, you stuff that you want to do, whether it's copy or save to files or upload to Dropbox or share with Telegram, those kind of things, like the buttons are just in the right place. Everything is kind of organized very nicely. The dark mode is really slick. I've never been a huge dark mode fan on anything, but I really have enjoyed having dark mode on the iPhone. Trying to think what else. There are a couple of quirky things that have changed. So one of the things that I do on a fairly frequent basis is almost all of the mail email that I get to my personal account is spam. I mean, not spam. It's stuff that I have signed up for. So, it's the...
That's bacon.
Right. It's okay. Is that what we're calling it these days? So it's...
Ham.
It's stuff that I've signed up for.
Canadian email.
Yeah. Newsletters, special sales from gun parts or whatnot. So on a frequent basis, I declare email bankruptcy and hit mark all.
I declare all, bankruptcy.
Right. And mark as read. Well, that functionality is a very odd way to do it on iOS 13. So like you used to would just hit edit in the top right. And then at the bottom left, you could hit mark all, and then it would come up with mark as read and you could hit that. Well, now it's, you got to hit, edit at the top right, then you got to go top left to select all, then you got to go to the bottom for the actions menu, and then you got to choose mark as read. So it's kind of like you got to do an around the clock, counterclockwise kind of click action. But other than that, the only things that so typically in iOS betas, I've always had lots of apps that just quit working. They'd crash on start or whatnot. And so I don't know if the app makers have gotten better about not doing an OS check when they launch or saying, it just needs to be this or higher, or if Apple's just gotten better at releasing good, stable betas. But the only thing right now that I can't really get to work is certain apps will not leave me enrolled in Face ID. So for instance, my Citibank app, I go in, I log in, it asks me if I want to enroll in Face ID, I turn it on, I get the email from Citi that says, hey, you're enrolled, and then launch the app 20 minutes later, and would you like to enroll in Face ID?
Didn't you have problems in the 12 beta with Citi too last year? I want to say last summer, I remember you mentioning that.
Well, the Citi app just quit working altogether. Like it would, it would launch and then screen would just go blank and then it would essentially force quit itself. So last year, what I was having to do was actually use the mobile browser version of Citi to pay my bills. I'm trying to think what else I had. There was one other thing recently. Oh yeah. So one thing I do like. So back to having to sleep with a CPAP at night. One of the problems that I had with Face ID in iOS 12 and 11 was frequently it would not unlock my phone because I'm wearing this, you know, mask on my face in the middle of the night.
I have that problem too.
Well, so now Face ID allows you to set up an alternate look or an alternate feature or whatever. And so I set my first Face ID as me with no mask, and then I actually put the mask on, and initially it said, you know, your face is obstructed or whatever. And I was like, well, no crap, I've got a mask on. But I found that if I would open my eyes bright, that it could like sense that it was me, I guess, and get more data points or whatnot. And so I had to do the head roll thing with the mask on. But once it did it, Face ID has unlocked every single time I've tried.
Very cool.
Wow, that's neat. I can do like hangover face stuff. That way it'll work on those mornings.
Duck face, Jim.
His ball gag.
That's a good one. So that's...
I don't use the phone when I have that.
He can't say a safe word when that's in. So you use that with the phone. What about your experiences with the iPad on that, with the iPad beta?
So again, it's been super stable. Everything is kind of smoking fast. But I have been remiss recently in trying anything new on the iPad. So I've not actually really explored any of the new features that are on iPad OS other than just kind of getting used to it running on the iPad Pro.
I noticed the updates are handled a little bit differently. So as soon as I installed the beta this afternoon, I went to the updates and I noticed that I had a badge next to my picture with my iCloud picture up in the upper right hand corner because I didn't see an updates tab at the bottom anymore. And then I touched it and then I could see, hey, update all. So that was a little bit unusual. I saw the section for arcade. That was kind of nice. I haven't used the pinch to swipe keyboard. I'm going to, but I haven't done that. So what about the macOS and watchOS betas? How have those been going for you?
Yeah, so again, I've been using them, really haven't explored any of the new stuff other than it's there. They've been super stable, so if you kind of been on the fence, I've been running since beta 1 on all the devices. I did just update to the Apple TV public beta.
Wow.
Just because it's a pain in the butt to update to the developer version of the beta. I didn't want to have to actually, take the device out of the den, hook it up to the iMac Pro, load Xcode, flash it, and then go put it back, right?
You're just living,
man,
dangerous,
that's like
man.
Whole hog, exactly. I know. I was thinking about doing my iPad because even though I do use it some for work, it's not a work-critical device. My phone, there's no way I could do it yet. You know, usually I do the phone like a week or two before I know the release is going to happen. And, you know, it's like the last beta. I'm like, all right, I'll go ahead and do my phone. But I leave on vacation early Thursday morning, so I definitely want to do my iPad before I leave on vacation because I'm going to be using it a lot, laying around the pool and whatnot. So I'll be able to check that out. So I'm excited. Beta 3 is now out because that's what I was kind of waiting on to upgrade. I had heard that, you know, different things for the first public beta or beta 2. So I'm surprised you said you haven't had any problems because some of the things when I went and looked and read, some people were saying these are buggier than, you know, they've ever had before out of the betas. So,
right. Well, so let me rephrase, right? If you're a technical person, the bugs you can typically figure out, right? So I would say the most common bug that I have had is not being able to get a keyboard when I need a keyboard. Like you click in a text input spot and the keyboard doesn't come up.
That happens now on the stable ones.
Right. I've had it on a couple things where, so like for instance, earlier today on beta 2 before I upgraded to beta 3, I had sent the message to you guys in Telegram about how much I spend monthly on AppleCare and iCloud and all that. And when I was searching, so I did a email search for the word Apple receipt. Is the dog, can y'all hear the dog?
Yes, it's
yes,
like you're in a kennel back there.
Yeah.
What's going on?
It sounds like you're in a kennel, exactly.
Jesus
play with me,
Christ.
Daddy.
Sorry about that, guys. So as I was saying, when I sent you guys the screenshot of the spreadsheet of how much I spend every month, I was searching because I couldn't remember.
So I have a question.
Yeah, but
have you tried the swipe keyboard?
I have not tried the swipe keyboard.
That's the one thing that makes me want to put it on my phone. The one single thing that makes me want to put this on my phone is the swipe keyboard. And I can't bring myself to do it because, like I said, my phone, I just do too much stuff with it for work.
You'll have to unblur, Brian.
It's probably not worth it then. I just fired up the swipe keyboard just now just to see, but that would literally be my first time trying it. But I'll wait, so.
Yeah, you're going to have to edit out because I completely lost my train of thought of whatever the hell I was going to point that I was going to make.
So you were looking at what you're paying every month for your monthly recurring Apple services.
And you were talking about the keyboard popping up and down.
Yes, the keyboard. So you were talking about glitches.
Oh, yeah. So the actual glitch that I got when I was searching for, I did a search for the word Apple and receipt because I couldn't remember what my AppleCare Plus cost was for the iPhone XS and XS Max with theft protection. I couldn't remember if it was like $12.99 or $15.99. Turns out it was $14.99. But anyhow, every time I would search for that, I would open the email that it had in there, and it would not give me like a left arrow to get back to my inbox at all. So you know, dumb stuff like that. And the way you do it is you just essentially force quit mail, relaunch mail, and go on about your business.
Yeah, minor bugs to be expected. So I'm excited to see how it works on the iPad. Since I edit the show partially on the iPad, I was a little bit nervous. And of course, I go and I look at the Ferrite Twitter for Wooji Juice, and they're like, I don't recommend this in production. So I'm like, yeah, that's kind of nerve wracking. But I do most of the editing on the Mac, so it's not a big deal if it does break something. But I kind of preferred for it to not break anything. But I am looking forward to playing with that. So have you played with Catalina at all, Jason?
Again, I have not. I have been super busy with work, which has been very rewarding. I mean, we're really getting elbows deep into some really cool cloud technology. So my pleasurable home computing has been limited, although I have been using, you know, all the various betas since the day they came out. I've not really explored in depth. I've just kind of been a casual observer of, oh, that's new, and oh, that's cool. And so again, the nicest thing I'll say about iOS 13 is, like, it just feels polished. It feels refined. The menus, the fonts, the stuff that I do on a regular basis seems like it's just all in the right spot. Oh, but I will say the stuff that I have found that doesn't work in Catalina, my Parallels Access doesn't work remote, so that kind of sucks.
Oh, no.
Backblaze doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Yikes. So that kind of sucks. There's another thing or two that I have found.
Both of those are items that require full disk access, I think. So you might want to, there could be something around that. I think those are like the only two apps where I had to go in and tell it, give it full disk access in settings. So it could be something with that. You might need to re-grant that or something like that for those. Who knows?
I will look into that.
Thanks for that, Jim.
So you're also using the watchOS betas, which is the most insane thing out of anybody, because if that breaks, then you have to take it back to the Apple store. There's no retreat, no surrender, if I may cop a term from an 80s movie for just a moment. So how are you liking the watchOS 6 betas?
So watchOS 6 has been, you know, believe it or not, it has been more stable, and I'm never getting false readings on my heart rate, so it doesn't ever say that my heart rate's like 41. It's also not saying that my heart rate is 155 when I'm just sitting there.
How would Jason know if watchOS is actually working right? Because he has so much problems without the beta with it working wrong.
So also since upgrading, I've not had any of the passive aggressive of, you know, I've been walking for 30 minutes and at 10 till it says, hey, if you get up and walk, you can get credit for this hour. And I've also not gotten any rewards for, you know, being sitting down. And it says, oh, you hit your stand goal while sitting down, right? So all the passive aggression that was in my previous watch and watchOS is completely gone at this point.
That is incredible. That was not something I was expecting to hear. So when they turn off the debug mode in the final release, that's when it'll break everything for you in the fall.
Oh, yeah. So another thing I forgot to mention, back to iOS 13 for a second, CarPlay kicks butt. So There's kind of a new screen. So there used to be like the button in the bottom left-hand corner that was essentially like a take you back to the home screen. It was almost like the home button on an old iPhone that had a physical button, right? Well, so now that is kind of like a grid view. And so if you hit it, it brings up recently used applications, or like, for instance, when I get into my brand new truck that I got earlier this week, and plug it in, when I hit it, like, it brings up a view that shows a map, and it like a superimposed small map that is essentially asking me, do I want to go to home or work? Because I guess those are my two favorites or most common things. And then, like, over on the right-hand side, it shows the most recently used apps. So, like, if the last thing I used was Spotify, or the last thing I used was Overcast, it kind of shows, like, a little menu over there. It gives me a little superimposed weather thing. So it's a lot more informative, and the screens seem to be pretty responsive.
Do you still have to plug it in for CarPlay to work, or is there, like, is it wireless CarPlay?
So, believe it or not, my 2002 Navigator that I put a Pioneer deck in, it's wireless CarPlay, and my brand new 2019 top of the line Ram Rebel that's just loaded out the wazoo still requires a lightning cable.
Most of the manufacturers haven't jumped on the wireless wagon. I know BMW has done it. They're the ones that do the subscription service. There's a couple others that may have done it, but most of them are still doing the wired CarPlay. I think it's because there's such a long lead time for a lot of cars in their design that, I mean, remember how long it took to get rid of, like, the iPod cables, even after lightning cable was a thing? Because a lot of these things just, you know, I know in mine, it had been gone for a couple of years, and I still had the stupid, you know, 30-pin, and I had to get a dongle that went 30-pin to lightning or something ridiculous. So, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me at all, honestly.
Well, so
to get a new radio just because my old Alpine would not work with newer Lightning iOS devices.
One of the other reasons why I think that, like, for instance, mine doesn't have it is the dealership is in bed with, you know, Sirius or whoever, or, you know, AT&T or whatnot. And so, for instance, my truck has an LTE, 4G wireless hotspot that's got, an AT&T SIM card built into it. So because of that, wireless CarPlay actually runs on 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. So unless they figured out a way to allow you to kind of broadcast a Wi-Fi hotspot and be transmitting on wireless CarPlay, I think that's part of a technology problem there.
Indeed, indeed.
Something I hope that they fix with iOS 13 is Apple Music. Just constantly when I get in the car, it always plays the first song that's in Apple Music. If it starts with an A, it's playing that song.
That's a Bluetooth. So you may have remembered me complaining about this incessantly in the past with previous vehicles that I had.
I remember this.
It was the worst. Like, I would get in with my in-laws and gangster rap, like, the most profane whatever song that I would have in my dirty little music collection would just start, you know, belting out, and I'd have, oh, well, how did that get in there? I have no idea how this happened. Whoa, what a weird glitch. I'm not secretly listening to gangster rap on the way to work.
It's crazy Atlanta radio.
Like the opening scene in Office Space. So that was always a Bluetooth implementation thing. In the years that I've been using CarPlay, I have never had that problem once. It never fires up Apple Music or any of that stuff. It was always if I did it over Bluetooth. I remember complaining to Mercedes at one point because, you know, when I first got my previous vehicle, I could look in the manual and it was like, here's how you stop that from happening. There's a little toggle that you do. It says automatically start playing music when you get in. And in a software update, they got rid of that. And it was like, no, we took that out. It's gone. So
on my Toyota radio, mine drive a 2016 Tacoma, I can plug it in or, you know, the lightning or do it over Bluetooth. And as soon as I get in, it'll play that first song in Apple Music.
Is it using CarPlay, though, or is it actually using the proprietary thing that Toyota does?
Oh, it's a Toyota radio. It doesn't have CarPlay.
See, that's the thing that's getting you, because whatever the implementation is, that's what it's doing. CarPlay never, ever, 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 ever. I mean, Jason, back me up on this. It never does that.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. But so one of the funny things, though, is there was a interview a year or two or even more back with Ed Sheeran, because a lot of people you know, have his the A-Team album, and one of the songs is called The A-Team. So that's the very first thing that shows up for so many people. He's like, I never meant for that to be the one song that comes on in your car every time you start it.
If you Google out there, there are people who have made tracks that are nothing but silence that are called A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A, so that it will get around that problem. I kid you not. If you go peruse forums, you will see, why is it every time I get in? And you'll see, iPhone sucks, Android sucks. It's like, no, the Bluetooth implementation sucks, or the music player sucks on your car. Because that's, I promise you, that's where it's coming from. It is the worst thing in the world. But go out and get yourself one of those things that do A-A-A-A-A-A-A, and it's nothing but silence. Or do that yourself, and you'll be good to go.
I'll just fire up Fission tonight and do that.
The Fonzie song, hey, as I drop a 50-year-old reference. Okay, so I'm old, folks. Let's see. So there had been some rumors that, you know, the TV shows that are coming to Apple in the fall, Apple's TV service that has yet to be formally given, you know, a name or the pricing or whatever they're doing. I guess it's TV Plus or whatever they're calling it. There were some rumors that Apple was going in and giving creatives notes on what they wanted to see, that all the content would be family related. It seemed kind of silly and ridiculous at the time. Well, of course, you know, Eddie Q came out this week and said that Apple execs don't make notes on TV shows or their scripts. There will be a mix of adult and kid shows. They're not trying to go for the Netflix model of quantity, just quality, which, thank God. Like, this all sounded really ridiculous to me when it first came out. So it sounded like the type of thing that people would insist on. Just because you can't get certain apps in the App Store, they thought that was going to be the case, even though you've always been able to get adult content, relatively speaking, in the iTunes Store and through music and movies and TV and other stuff. So it seemed kind of weird to me that they're not treating it like that. What do you guys think about
that? It seemed odd, but it did seem plausible.
Plausible, yeah.
It seemed apply. It really did. It seemed like something they could do.
It did seem very apply.
Like Eddie's like, maybe we recast that with Nicole Kidman, you know? I don't know.
Well, you know, the weird thing is that they're going to be competing with every other streaming service. The only one that's taken a firm stance on content is Disney with their Disney Plus service that's coming out. But they own Disney and Hulu, so they stick the adult stuff on Hulu and keep the family-friendly stuff on Disney Plus. But other than that, nobody else has that restriction. And it just seemed like a weird... If you're already behind in the race, why shoot yourself in the foot before you even take off running? It just seemed weird. Like, they seem smart. I give them more credit for being smarter than that. It was reported today that Apple Music has 60 million paid subscribers. Now, Spotify still has over 100 million subscribers, but Apple has 28 million paying versus Spotify's 26 million subscribers. I think that's kind of, I think it's kind of neat. I'm thinking at some point I'm going to have to drop Spotify, these ridiculous number of music services I've picked up. I want to get rid of Spotify, but I find myself using Apple Music more. Apparently, Spotify had an app called Stations that I didn't know about, and I guess it just got CarPlay today. Have you guys played with Stations at all?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's pretty great.
How am I the last to hear about this?
It's basically like Pandora for Spotify. I mean, that's really what it is.
Or like Sirius XM. But with your Spotify subscription.
I forgot that I have that too, so I got to throw that on the pile with my other five music services.
Solely because you can go through and say, you know, play everything by this artist, like in the Spotify app, or create your own playlist, whereas you can't do that on SiriusXM. It just plays a genre, and it's sort of the same thing with the new Spotify app.
Excellent, excellent. Good to know. I guess I'm going to have to download that and try it. So I'm assuming if you do a paid subscription, it's commercial free. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes.
Does it operate like both Fitbit Radio and Pandora's premium radio, where it has a limited number of skips per hour, even if you're a paying customer?
Unlimited skips.
Wow.
It's pretty great because, like, I like metal, and I will throw it on a metal station and get to hear all kind of new stuff, you know, from the 80s that I've never heard before. It's pretty great.
Huh.
And I do the same thing with EDM, so yeah.
That's something new for me to play with. Okay, maybe I won't get rid of Spotify. That, and I have shared playlists with other people that just won't make the migration for whatever reason. So maybe I will.
Maybe it's something to make themselves a little more relevant with Apple Music growing or something, or they're just trying to add something to make them seem more attractive.
It's super simple to use too. I think that's part of it. You don't, with Spotify, you've got to go in and know what you're looking for and find a track or look for playlists or something. This is truly super simple, like a Pandora, where you go in and say, give me country music and bam, there you have it. Or give me, you know, metal and you have it. Or say, you know, I like Prince, play a station based on that and there you go. So, you know, I mean, the interface is super simple. I mean, it's almost too simple, where if you go in and you click something, it just starts playing. Like, you clicked on, like, you know, a genre, it just starts playing. It doesn't ask anything else, just play.
Wow. Okay, I definitely will have to try that. So let's see what else is going on. I think really the last thing that I wanted to talk about this week was there was news that Apple was explored adding positionable cameras to Apple Watch bands, which I guess that maybe would work. I think it's a terrible idea. I don't want to do FaceTime looking up my own nose, and I think that's the position we would be in. But, you know, the only way that I could see that would work is if they had some sort of battery that was built into the band to let you do it. Because otherwise, I mean, I use the hell out of my Apple Watch, and I can have the battery well under 50% at the end of a day of intense usage. You throw a camera, start doing FaceTime on there. I couldn't imagine what it would do to the battery life. Would you guys actually use a band that had cameras on it, do you think?
Hell to the no.
Again, with that whole, you know, nose hair view of your face. Yeah, I mean, I find FaceTime awkward anyway, just because most people hold it, you know, less than a foot from their face, and they're, you know, you get this uber close view of someone's face, and I'm not one of those people I'm not a close talker. I don't like getting up on people's face. You know, I try to give people their, you know, 3 feet, you know, arm's length kind of space, and FaceTime is awkward to me.
Since the day FaceTime came out, that my parents have used that exclusively to talk to me. They never use phone or anything like that. It is 100% FaceTime. So it's oftentimes they won't know where their camera is pointed. So I'll be seeing like the top of their eyes, and I see most of the ceiling because their iPad will be in their lap or whatever. So I guess they would be the perfect use case for this, I guess. But I don't know. I just couldn't see myself necessarily doing that. It would be kind of it'd be more of a battery life thing for me than anything else. Plus, I have so many damn bands. I wouldn't want to have to go, I'm going to put on my camera band before I leave. That just wouldn't work at all. I just can't see that.
And my other thing is, you know, just having your arm in front of your face, you know, while you talk.
That's bad enough when you're doing phone calls.
Go Gadget.
Because I'm one of those people that, you know, set the phone down or put in the AirPod and just set the phone down and just talk. I'm not one to be interacting with the phone.
I sometimes will use my AirPods with my Apple Watch, so maybe I could see myself doing it, but I don't know. I would rather not.
I feel awkward just swiping my watch for my airline pass, so, you know, yeah.
So Jim would be, to bring it full circle, Jim would be Johnny Ive's ideal customer who uses his watch just as a watch. But no, the airline
luxurious watch.
The airline pass is fantastic. My wife made me go shopping the other day at Macy's, and they had a Starbucks in the Macy's at the Mall of Georgia. And I decided, of course, I can't pass one without getting some sort of drink to juice up on. And it was weird. The person there was like, "You had that on your watch. You can actually pay with your watch." And it always blows my mind whenever I still encounter that. But,
well, the people at the gas station will have, you know, one of those, you know, it's one in every 10 gas stations, but they'll have the reader that has the NFC reader on it, and I'll do my watch on it, and they kind of freak out. And what one thing I love about going to Walgreens is I'll walk up and do my Walgreens card from my watch, and then turn around and just pay from my watch. I mean, it's so awesome.
From day one, they have gotten it right by having both the loyalty card and the payment. I've always wanted Starbucks to do something. It's the night of dogs making
Ryan's
noises.
Got some gas. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
It's a squeaky toy.
No, she's got the squeaky toy over here. She just decided to bring it to me and start playing. I really wanted to see integration with loyalty cards and Apple Pay. Like, again, that kind of bums me out at Starbucks that I can't use Apple Pay. I have to use the Starbucks card to get my rewards, and I know that they've tightly integrated those things, so you can do that now, but nobody, I think Panera Bread is the only one that actually may use that. And I think I only saw that as recent as a report on the subreddit from iOS 13 or something. Or, Jason, have you seen different?
No, I was just going to share a quick story about something that happened this weekend regarding NFC. I was out at breakfast with a couple of friends, and both of them are type 2 diabetics, and they have to, you know, check their blood sugar on a regular basis. And it was super neat. Like, at first, I just didn't even notice what they were doing, but you know, they've got like some kind of, I don't know if you'd call it a patch or something, but it like puts a dot on kind of their upper bicep, tricep area on the outside of their arm. And so as they were eating breakfast, I just saw them, you know, just reach their phone up and kind of touch their shoulder for a second. And instantly it came back with what their blood sugar was. And they were able to actually monitor what their blood sugar was, you know, before, during, and after they were finished with their meal.
I'll have another orange juice, please.
I think that brand name of that sensor is Dexcom. They are a well-known blood blood sugar glucose, blood glucose, you know, sensor monitoring company. One issue with the Dexcom sensors is like a lot of people, you know, love them because of the tech integration with phones, but they don't work with any pumps. Like I have an insulin pump and I have to use a specific glucose checker that works specifically with my pump. I mean, I could use the Dexcom, but I would have to manually enter the blood sugar into the pump. I mean, anyway, it is cool. It's very cool.
I just thought that it was kind of neat that, you know, one, these guys don't ever have to prick their fingers anymore. And two, it was so discreet that they had checked it like before and during, and I just hadn't even noticed. Like, you know, like it just kind of looked like they just did something weird with, you know, their hand. And then at the end, you know, I actually saw them touch it. Like I could see like the little dot through their, shirt sleeve. I was like, are y'all checking blood sugar? And they're like, oh yeah.
Like, no, this is just the new Harry Potter game.
So we're at the point of the show where if you want to talk about anything that's not Apple related, any movies, TV, pop culture, music, asides, anecdotes, what you got?
My new truck is awesome, guys. It is. Dude, I love it. Like it has way more creature comforts than any vehicle I have ever had. I mean, you name it, just about it's got it. But one of the things, like one of the upgrades that I got was the 12-inch screen Alpine system. So like the dash is this massive, like 12.5-inch. It looks like the big Tesla screen. So it's pretty slick.
Big iPad Pro.
Yeah. I took it up to the North Georgia mountains this past weekend, did some off-road trails on it, a little stream crossing and that kind of stuff. So it was definitely fun. This is my first new vehicle since 2010. So I'm not excited about the car payment because I haven't had one in about 5 years, but I am excited to have a new ride.
Fantastic. What about you, Brad? Anything new going on with you?
I've been listening to a new podcast. I like true crime podcast. There's it's been on for a couple of years. The lady that does the voice of Lisa Simpson, Yardley Smith, she's one of the hosts on it, and it's called Small Town Dicks, and they have two regular crime.
Is that the autobiography of Jim? It has Small Town Dick.
It has two. They regularly have two.
I live in Dallas.
Crime investigators on it. One is like a robbery type investigator, and the other one's like a homicide investigator, and they get on and tell some pretty great stories. It's called Small Town Dicks.
She was a guest on a podcast called I Was There Too, which I don't know if that thing is still in still available or not. You know, it was one that I used to watch and I mean listen to a while ago, and they talk about they find people who are actors but they're a little bit more on the obscure side, and we'll ask them about some of their first acting jobs. One of the things that she was in her very first work was The Legend of Billie Jean from like 1985 with Helen Slater. And
right.
And as somebody who's a connoisseur of crappy garbage movies from the 80s, I kind of like that podcast a lot. And they would just talk to some of these character actors that were not very big. But the last episode that I listened to was, which was quite a while ago, was honestly her episode. And it's, I did not realize she had a podcast. It may have actually been mentioned in that thing. It probably was. But I was more focused on hearing her stories from movies from like 35 years ago. So I'll have to check that out. I like her a lot.
I didn't know about the podcast until the last week. I listened to Harmontown. It's Dan Harmon's podcast. And she was on there a couple of weeks ago and he had her on there and he brought it up. So it that's what got me over that. I'm always tangential when I move, you know, through new podcasts. It's always something I hear about on another podcast.
I haven't listened to Harmontown in forever. I should go back and start that back up again. Jim, anything you want to talk about?
Real quick, I just wanted to say I've been using my HomePod a little bit more lately. I finally turned on the personalized recommendations. And so, like you said, I've been using it for a lot of my conference calls, basically just, you know, like with WebEx, just having it answer the phone and doing all my WebExes on there. And I finally figured out on my phone how to actually, like, control the HomePod, like the long press on the
home
what
app.
The HomePod's playing, and I do the same thing in iTunes on the Mac, where I can basically see what's playing on the HomePod as it's playing and control that. So, and the other thing is, I leave on vacation. So we're recording on the 2nd, and so 4th of July morning, leave on vacation for a week at an all inclusive in near Cancun. So I just bought me a GoPro 7 Black for the trip to, you know, just see, just shoot some videos, screw around with that. And I'm looking forward to playing with that and just seeing what I can come up with, you know, out in the water or just sitting around. I might start vlogging. Who knows?
Nice. I'm headed to the Caribbean at the end of the month. So if you like yours, I may end up doing the same thing. I keep saying I'm going to do it, and I just never do. And I think I would have enjoyed it more when we go and take our annual sort of winter ski trips where I've done dog sledding and snowmobiling up the side of a mountain and all that other stuff. That's probably more fun. But
yeah, it's so small.
Yeah, that's having the storage and being able to capture that video. Does it do 4K? I'm assuming it does.
Yeah, it does 4K, you know, all the stuff. The other thing I wanted to do with it, so I bought it for vacation, but I want to be able to mount it in the convertible and shoot video as I'm riding around. I go maybe faster than I should in the S. So
some Russian road cam vids.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm thinking about getting a dash cam. I know I've said that before, and I've even bought a cheap one before. I'm actually looking at getting a real one. I've had a couple of situations in the last few weeks where I've had people do some really obnoxious sort of mess with you, pull out in front of you, and you kind of honk, and then they, you know, they mess with you. So do that in the future, and I'm taking you straight to the police. So that's what I'll be doing.
Are you doing honking at them, Brian?
I don't know. I have this expectation when I'm in an intersection, I have a green arrow and I'm turning and I'm midway through and somebody just runs the red from the other side and doesn't even stop. I'm kind of a nut like that to like, hey man, you almost caused an accident. So why don't you not do that?
I got so flattered this weekend. We went to, we went down to the big fancy mall here to, see a movie and to walk around and play Harry Potter. And I parked, and as I'm parking, I parked next to, a kid that was getting out of his car in an older Subaru. And he asked me about my car, and, you know, I said, yeah, you know, it's a 2004 or whatever, and we're talking about it. And he's like, do you mind if I take a picture of it? He's like, no, man, you take all the pictures you want. I was just so flattered. I was like, that's pretty cool.
That is nice.
It was nice this weekend when I was coming back from the North Georgia mountains. I must have seen 20 S2000s coming back down the mountain. I mean, it was a very, very popular car this weekend.
Huh, they might have, well, there's a lot of them that'll go for certain times of the year to go do Road Atlanta, and they have like an event out there, so I don't know if that's anywhere near where you were. I don't know where that's in Atlanta, but.
It's about an hour and 15 away, but like if you were in town to do a Road Atlanta event and wanted to hit the North Georgia mountains, that's not out of the norm to do that.
And Atlanta, an hour and 15 is just around the corner, so that's not even a bad commute for most people, so particularly on a weekend.
Yeah, on the north side of Atlanta, an hour 15, it's really like 45, 50 miles. In Atlanta, an hour 15 is really like 3 miles.
Yes. Let's see. Today is the second. Oh, go ahead.
I did see a meme earlier this week. It said Atlanta, where Atlanta is an hour from Atlanta.
Exactly. The most accurate meme ever in that regard. That and just put a metal plate over the potholes. That's the other recurring
You can kind of say that about Dallas, too, because people are like, I've heard people like say they live up in Frisco or Prosper, which are way up north, and they're like, yeah, I live in Dallas. I'm like, you don't live in Dallas. No, you don't. I mean, you're like so far out, that's crazy.
Let's see. Today is the 2nd, so I'm going to see Spider-Man Far From Home tonight at 10:30, and that's going to make going to work and getting up and doing my exercise a little bit challenging in the morning, but I'm still going to try and do it.
Thanks for the invite, jerky.
Well, the thing is, all right, so my wife is getting off of it'll be like 14 hours by the time she goes, so she's probably not going to be in the best mood. Otherwise, I would have said, come along, and that's why I'm having to do the 10:30, because otherwise I would have probably picked an earlier show. So she's going to be in a grumpy mood, but she's going to go because I want to go.
Well, I have tomorrow and Friday off, so I was actually thinking about going to see the 9:30 a.m. showing of it in the Dolby Cinema and have the whole place to myself tomorrow morning.
Well, you know, I have two more slots in my A-list, so maybe I need to take PTO, and then, hey, I'll just join you then. Because, again, you know I'll see it multiple times, because, you know, I saw Avengers 3 times. I did the re-release this weekend just to see the stupid unfinished scene that they included and the other stuff. Doing my part to help get it past Avatar as the highest grossing movie of all time, but don't look like it's going to hit it right now, because I think they're still 26 million away from overtaking Avatar as of the time of this recording.
We saw yesterday this weekend. It was a pretty neat little film.
I saw that too. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect. You know, we've seen the preview a million times, and I thought it might be one of those movies where like the best parts of the whole movie is what you saw in the trailer, but it was a cute movie. It was really good.
So. What movie was it?
Yesterday.
It's a movie where the Beatles didn't exist. Yeah,
you know, the Mrs. Not wants Beatles to see movie. That.
Yeah.
The fact that they made Ed Sheeran have an Ed Sheeran song for his own ringtone. Was I don't know if anyone else noticed that, but I
noticed
that.
Oh, totally. That was hilarious.
I think it was Shape of You or something like that, which would have been the most popular song that I guess he's had in a while. So that was kind of funny, too. He played a good self-parody version of himself. It was a good movie. It was a very enjoyable movie. I'm loving the A-list thing, man. I see every single thing that comes out just about. And that was one that was like you could catch at like 5 o'clock on a Friday or something. And
yeah, we saw that. We saw Toy Story 4 this weekend, too. So, I mean, like we're seeing 1 to 2 movies every weekend with A-list now.
See, aren't you glad, guys? Glad I drug you kicking and screaming to the A list.
Did you?
Yes, I was the first one to have it and talked you guys into it.
I had MoviePass before, and I got it in January of this year. So yeah, I guess you did, but it was an easy sell for me because MoviePass had cratered for me so badly I couldn't see anything. But yeah, I knew the prices were about to go up too. I think you had told me that, but I'm still.
I can't believe the prices for movies nowadays. Like when you go into the A list app and you're booking your movie, and it's like $16 or $17 for the movie that you would have paid for. I'm like, holy cow, that's crazy.
Well, I saw John Wick 3 the night that it came out in the really nice theater up here in the Dolby Cinema with, you know, like dine-in delivery to seat stuff. And had I paid full price for that, it was $23.99. So that one movie covered my whole month's worth of movies.
When I saw Into the Spider-Verse in December,
cheaper than that.
Yeah, when I saw Into the Spider-Verse in December, we saw a matinee in the Dolby Theater up in Alpharetta, and it was $20 a person. So just seeing that one, if you see any of those, the new releases in the Dolby Theater, it's that alone is worth the price of admission because it's cheaper than that.
All right, so I got a question. Would you guys go see a concert by yourself if it was somebody you really wanted to go see?
I know Jim would. I'll answer on Jim's behalf, yes. And I'll answer on Brad's behalf, yes.
I have.
All right, because I think I'm going to have to. Kid Rock and Hank Williams Jr. are playing at the local amphitheater in September. And Kate is like, I'm not going.
So
and the thing is,
what day is that? I would probably go with you to that. I would, if I'm in town, I think we're taking some vacation in September. But if I'm in town, I would do that with you. I'm pretty sure Wendy would, too.
Looking online now.
We're trying to plan a trip for my birthday weekend or right there at my birthday weekend in September. And I think now we've decided we're going to Nashville. And I'm going to see Jack White and the Raconteurs at Ryman in Nashville. So that should be
I saw them right after their second album came out in Memphis. They were great.
Yeah, I figured it'd be a good show. And then Megan's a big fan of a band named Guster out of the Northeast. And they're playing in Nashville that weekend, too. So we'd be able to see a concert Friday night and Saturday night if we go. And our old buddy Ed lives in Nashville, too, so I might look him up.
Yeah, so the Kid Rock Hank Jr. concert, and like both of them are doing mega sets, right? So like I heard that Hank Jr. is doing like 22 or 24 songs, and Kid Rock's going to do about the same. September 21st, Saturday.
I think that may be doable. I think we're in town then. I'll find out with the wife, and you won't have to do that by yourself. If nothing else, I would go see that. So
awesome.
Speaking of concerts, Kim and I are going to see the Stones in 2 weeks in New Orleans. I'm pretty
nice.
Excited.
Nice.
That would be awesome.
Do they do that in the Dome or at the Smoothie King?
It'll be in the Dome.
Awesome. I saw them, was it a year and a half or so ago here in Dallas? I mean, I was shocked at how good a damn show it was. It was crazy. Those guys are older than dirt. I mean, they'd have to pause between songs and smoke a cigarette, but every song was great.
That's one act I've wanted to see before they die, and I better get cracking on that or it won't happen. Because they're in their 70s, so I mean, it's got to happen.
Indeed.
Well, I think that should just about do it for this week, guys. I guess that's a show. So until next time, later, fellas.
Later,
fellas. Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at INFIN loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at BRIANB. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at BIGJIM. Jason is at JSNYNG. That's at JSNYNG. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at MEESTERIDLE. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.